Good to be with you this morning. This is my first time here, and I was speaking with your pastor, Pastor Britt, and he informed me of the time of the service from the beginning to the end. And I recognize your service is usually as long as my messages. And then he told me, don't worry, I'll be speaking all three. He says, no, you won't. You'll be speaking. He's right. I'm speaking in a little this. Now, I've been a youth pastor for many years, so my church used to say, if they tie my hands, I can't talk because I am moving all the time. So we will see how this will work this morning. Well, good to be with you this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse number three is actually our text this morning. And I appreciate the privilege of sharing with you this morning. I do not take that for granted, especially when we get to give the Word of God. Before we begin, it was actually 1995, I had just graduated from grad school. And so I was thinking of what I needed to do, where I needed to go, and I ended up in Israel on a kibbutz. Wanted to serve the Lord on the kibbutz before I kind of head into ministry, you know. Have all this head knowledge, you know, I've gone through seminary, gotten the education, now let's take on the world. And I remember going to Israel, and our point of living on the kibbutz is so we can share the gospel with the kibbutzniks, the Israelis there. And I recognized for the first time what it was to be, prejudiced against because you're a Christian. I remember our group getting, it's a communal society, so everybody in the kibbutz kind of eats together. They work in different sections of the kibbutz. So I remember going to the dining room, and we got there and we sat down. As soon as we sat down, everybody stood up and moved. I remember going, we lived with volunteers. We couldn't live with the kibbutzniks, they're the Jews. We lived in a section for volunteers. And I understand volunteers came from all over the world. And just to work on the kibbutz. And they just backpack across Europe. I never knew that. People just backpack across Europe, stop at a kibbutz, they work for a while, and they move on. And so these were groups of volunteers. We went there, and as we lived with the volunteers, I've never been more afraid for my life because I was a believer. I remember one night, I remember this one so clearly. I was the oldest male on the team. We had a number of young ladies on our team. And of course, being Christians, the men stayed in one section and the ladies stayed in the other. And we were very much teased on the kibbutz because of that, you know, old-fashioned kind of thing. But I remember we went to Jerusalem on a trip. And the night we went, the kibbutzniks, some of those who lived on the volunteer, actually had raided our areas to actually rape our ladies. I remember coming back as the lead guy there feeling afraid. Lord, we are here to serve you. All we want to do is share your love. And they hate us because we are believers. We do not have that context here in the Bahamas, and I understand that. Our identification is not as strong with persecution. Oh, we know it happens out there. We understand that it happens out there. But for us as Bahamians, why do we even care? What is the big deal about that? Remember, we just had the track games. I love track. I used to actually be rather good. When I was a youth pastor, I took on all the kids and says, let's race. Then I turned 40 and I stopped that. No more racing. Because I actually started losing. And so I don't like losing. But I remember going to the track, and I'll tell you, we cheered on for our country because we identified with them. That's our country. I don't care if you're PLP or FNL. You are Aqua Black and Gold today. You know, that's what it was. because there was identification. Well, right now, there's a lot happening in our world. And we are here saying, hey, but I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist. When we are believers, they are attacking Christians around the world. What does the Bible say about that? I love this passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 3. It says, Paul says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. I'm reading from the King James, that's the Bible I study from. So Paul actually starts off by saying, remember them that are in bonds. The term, the word for remember that he uses is a very different word than many times remember is used in Scripture. This word is to be mindful of or to call to memory for. To be mindful of. You know how it is with us. Out of sight is out of mind. If you don't have it in front of you all the time, life happens. We're busy. Out of sight is out of mind. Especially out of the sphere, I call it the sphere of our care. Why should I even care? Why should I care about what's happening in Nigeria when we have issues happening down the road here? The answer is because God cares. This is what Paul is trying to say. Remember. The word remember also says to not only to not forget, but to be aware of, to be mindful of. The word remember has in it the idea of awareness. What is this awareness? Awareness is bringing your attention to something so that it can be a part of your memory. This is statement. This is one of those obvious statements. If something is not brought to your attention, it cannot be brought to your memory. You cannot remember something that you do not know. What Paul is actually saying is remember to the point of being aware of. There are people in bonds, he's saying. You need to be aware of it and do not forget it. Your not knowing is not an excuse. Because it is on the body of Christ to find out. We should find out what's happening with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should not depend on the media. Do they care? They are our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what Paul uses the word remember. He then goes specific. Remember them in bonds. Those are those in captives. By application, it is anybody in prison. But by implication, it is specifically those in prison for Christ in the context that's given. Who ought we remember? We ought remember those who actually are in prison because of their faith. I'm not sure if you're aware, but in North Korea right now, there are over 70,000 Christians in prison for their faith. 70,000. Now, I live on an island. 70,000 for us here is a huge amount. Imagine, practically speaking, someone from every home on this island in prison because of their faith. That is a reality. Today, in Korea, it is actually against the law to be a Christian. And they take them and their family. If you are a Christian, your whole family gets punished, whether they are believers or not. Right now, there are those in bonds, and there's a phrase out there. Remember this phrase? If a tree falls in the woods, does it really make a noise? What does that mean? Yes, it makes a noise, but what is a noise if nobody hears it? The tree fell, but if it did not hit an eardrum, nobody was aware. So it fell, but it made no impact noise because nobody heard. Right now, I believe that one of the main targets, or not targets, but one of the main plans of our enemy, Satan, is to make sure nobody knows. Keep it silent. Let their voice go unheard. And so right now what Paul is saying is, you remember them. Remember them that are in bonds. Then he goes on, as bound with them. See, now that changes things for me. Because I am a baby. I live in a country where the gospel is free. We have more churches around here. I mean, you choose your flavor. Any flavor around here. No Bahamian has an excuse for church because there's enough flavors to go around. Free country. And sometimes we take advantage because though we are free to worship, that is a privilege that God has given us. Just for the fact that we are here. But His children are over there as well. Bound with them. The word bound is to tie together. The concept is you remember them as though your chain was next to them in prison. That is the concept that he's saying. In other words, if he was here today, Paul was here today, Paul would probably stand up in our churches in our country and try to get the message out saying, listen, there are Christians in North Korea right now in chains. You should act as though you are in chains with them in prison and feel their pain. You should care. It goes beyond a simple knowledge. How do we watch the news today? We watch the news for knowledge. We disconnect emotionally. As much as, even right now, with the amount of murders happening in this country, remember when we heard one murder and it caused us to shake inside. Now we turn on the news and we hear, oh, there's another killing, there's another killing, there's another killing, and we move on with life. Because we have disconnected emotionally. It's only about knowledge. When you're bound with them, we cannot disconnect emotionally. It goes beyond simple knowledge, and it goes beyond what I call simple acknowledgement. This is how good Christians do it with missions. We make simple acknowledgement of what's happening over there. Oh yes, we acknowledge that they are being persecuted. We acknowledge that the missionaries over there, they're in trouble. We acknowledge that. And then we feel good by sending them something. And that becomes more about us than about them. It's more of a, yes, see, that's what I did. But this is not what Paul is talking about here. You cannot go, you have to go beyond simple acknowledgement because we disconnect what I call experientially. We do not feel their pain. We don't. But I will say, if it was connected to us, if it was one of our children, if it was one of our church members, if it was somebody from our own congregation, then we would feel experientially. But it's easy to disconnect when it goes outside our sphere of care. Well, Paul is encouraging us. And if he only dealt with the prisoners, that would have been something. But he goes beyond in this verse. He says, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. The command is to remember, to call to mind, to be aware, to make yourself aware of. Your ignorance is no longer an excuse. It's on us to know and find out. We must be aware and we must remember those who suffer adversity. The word adversity means to be evil treated, to be tormented. It's the same verse used in Hebrews 11:37 that's translated tormented. And it goes beyond just imprisonment to a torture, a suffering. Do we recognize that there are women right now suffering, even in India, for the simple fact that they are female and they are Christian? That puts them way down on the totem pole. Suffering because of the way, because of a choice. Remember that lady in Sudan who actually stated that I would prefer death over renouncing my faith? This is real life. This is what's happening today. These are not special Christians. These are believers just like us sitting in the pew. given an opportunity to stand for their faith, and they say, we will not stand. We will not fall. That's what they say. They will suffer adversity. But you know what Paul says? As though you felt the pain in your own bodies. You should remember them as though you felt the pain in your own bodies. That same lady, remember, if you remember the news just a few weeks ago, she just had her baby, and they said she'd be given, I believe, 100 lashes because she would not deny her faith. Now, how many of us would feel those 100 lashes with her? That's our sister. For the fact that she is Christian is why she's getting beaten. It's why she will die. How do we respond? Paul tells us, as though it was happening in our body as well. So, we have to feel their pain. Today, I'm going to leave at the back. This is a watch list. Open Doors is one of those organizations that brings awareness to what's happening in the persecuted church. And it has ranked 15 countries worldwide, numbers 1 to 50. And it's ranked number 1 to 50 of those who are the most persecuted for their religious faith. At the top of the list is North Korea. Then is Somalia. Syria, if you don't know right now, there is a strong civil war in Syria. They're trying to destroy the church in Syria. Again, they don't care what brand you are. The fact that you follow Christ is what they care about. You know where Nigeria is on this list? Nigeria is number 14 on this list. Right now, Nigeria probably has gained a lot of interest worldwide since the abduction of those girls. Remember, they stole some schoolgirls, Boko Haram? Well, in case you do not know, Boko Haram is an organization that is anti-God. They said that. They actually have it written that this is about Christianity. They want to get the Christians out of Nigeria. Those girls were not targeted because of education like the Western media said. They were targeted because they were church. They were involved or they were connected because in that area, do you recognize the girls were not expected to go to school and get an education? They're expected to marry and produce children for their husbands. That's all they're expected to do. In the Christian communities, they wanted the women to actually be educated. That comes from a biblical knowledge and training. So in this particular area, there is an attack against what the Christians are doing. And that's why they want to take these girls, make them deny their faith, and force them to marry against their faith. That's what's happening today, right now. And not only that, in that same little area, and there's news reports on it, we can check it, but in that same little area, the Boko Haram went in, and they went into a specific community where there was a church, and they actually sent in bombs to actually blow up and kill Christians there. When that happened, they went back 2 days later, dressed like the army people, saying, come to a town hall meeting so we can hear your complaints. The people came to a town hall meeting, they trapped them inside, and they blew them up. And that happened this month. They are Christians, believers. We can sit here and think it's not happening and disconnect. We cannot do it and follow Scripture perfectly. What is the call to action? The call to action is simply this. We need to have compassion. We need to care. Do we care? Do we even care? And you know what? There's a lot happening in our world right now. What is our... If you were to take your prayers this week, and God were to just record the things you prayed for this specific week, passionately. Nothing against what we prayed for. I'll tell you right now, I am... I've been traveling in evangelism for most of my adult life in ministry. Now I'm in the pastorate. So I'm looking at purchasing property. I came here. I found this perfect piece of property to purchase. Went through all the saving and everything to put down my down payment. Got the property. Found out that there's another guy who claims ownership to it. He cleared down my land. I went to my lawyer. My lawyer says, we did the check. He says he has proof, but he's not going to show it. So now I have to go to the Supreme Court over my property. I'm praying to God about that. No, for me, that's a big deal. But compare that to your child being taken. And you don't know if they're being raped or change their faith. How many people are talking to God about that? You know, in reality, all of our needs are important to God, but they are His children too. I'm reminded in India, the boys are, in many of the societies, the boys are regarded as better than and the girls are not. And so in many homes, in the I Am Not Ashamed campaign, we actually have this. And it says, if there's a home and the dad is looking at the boy and he's trying to get him in sports and trying to get him in school, and the girl, pushed aside, doesn't even eat. And many of the girls are left and abandoned just so that they don't take food away from the boy in the home. And you know, and I think that boy is privileged simply because he was born male. And that's it. And that's his daughter too. Why should we be privileged simply because we live in the Bahamas? That's his children too. God loves them just as much. What ought we do? Pray sincerely. We have to pray. We have to learn intentionally. How could we pray if we do not know? We have to know. We have to make it a point as believers to know. That's what Barnabas Fund does. This is, I spoke to Pastor Bryn even about it. This is the organization we work with. There's a number out there. But what they do is they have a daily prayer request. So every day, I can pray for one aspect of the persecuted church. You know, when you pray every day, it keeps you aware. That's why we connect with Barnabas Fund. And I believe we've sent at least 50 of the prayer aids to your church. So even if you're interested, you can pick up one. Pick up, read, know what's going on so you can know how to pray. Pray intentionally and identify personally. We can't disconnect. We have to identify. Identify with them. And then commit. We say commit to finding five others. We have to get this message out. This is what I Am Not Ashamed campaign is about. There was a few of us pastors just 2 years ago said, you know what? We need to get the message out. Our churches in this country are so self-absorbed. It's all about our little world and we forget what's happening out there. Yes, what's happening in this country is important, but if we get our eyes off of ourselves, maybe we can spark a great revival. That's what this campaign is about. To get to pastors, to get to churches, and to say, do you care? Let's for 1 year, I'm not asking for the rest of your life, just for 1 year, commit to say, I will pray for the persecuted church. And I will find five people to pray with or to connect with. Spread the word. We have to bring awareness. Spread the word. And there are many opportunities to give. I tell our church, we want us to give five a month, five a week, five a day. What we want to do is we want to get on the radios. We want to get on the TV. We just want to put simple ads. Just a simple ad to say, this is what's happening in India. This is what's happening in Nigeria. Christians pray. That's all. Just to get the message out. Well, what ought we then do now? I love Ephesians 6. And that's where we'll close with Paul. Paul says it perfectly in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. How ought we pray for the persecuted church? Just so you know, Paul gives us an idea. Says, verse 19, and pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. So pray for utterance, that they would have a voice and they'd have the courage to speak. Pray for God to give them a platform. There's a lot of persecution happening. And if you read those in the persecuted church, they're not saying, feel sorry for us. It's not about sympathy. But it's about joining with them, saying, you're my brothers and you're my sisters. And we will make it aware of what's happening so you will have a platform to speak for Christ. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Pray for a platform as an ambassador. Many times we think of them as soldiers. They're not soldiers. They are ambassadors. Soldiers fight, but ambassadors look for a platform to speak. Pray for them to have a platform to speak, because it's the message of faith that can change this world. Remember that simple song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? The true story is told in India. There was a family in a village that got saved. They were the first family that got saved. The village got totally upset. They brought this family in the town square. The village chief came in, and they brought the man of that house to the front, and they said to him, you need to denounce your faith. He didn't know what to do. His entire family there. He says, if you do not, you will die. The only thing that came to his words, to his mind, were the words of that simple song. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. So he began to sing. When he finished the first verse, according to the story, they killed his children. They looked at his wife and they said, renounce your faith. And he continued singing, though none go with me, still I will follow. And they killed his wife in front of him. After that, they said, you have one more chance. Save your life. And he began to sing, the cross before me, the world behind me. And they killed him. It was until years later, with the amount of conviction that that brought, that that village chief came to the center of that same town and declared his faith. What faith, what God. That sparked a revival in that community. As we close, can we just sing a cappella, I have decided to follow Jesus. Just the first verse. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. That is why we stand here today. Stand here simply as a brother in Christ, saying, remember them that are in bonds.